Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Eat steak, eat steak, eat a big old steer. Eat steak, eat steak, do we have one beer?
What you just heard was the sizzling sound of a prime cut of steak, and for you meat lovers, there's a silver stomach lining in this recession. Steak has become less expensive. Sorry, vegetarians.
With the economy downturn and people going out to fine dining restaurants less and less, the meat that would therefore be going to those restaurants is now on the open market for us to purchase.
That's Bob Huskey, a meat buyer for Costco.
Costco
has great steaks, but now they have prime steak. And here to talk about that with us is our guest,
Melissa Clark. It's a Food Wednesday. Melissa Clark, who brought us, bearing gifts. She always bears gifts. We got a little steak here. This is prime steak, Melissa?
That is prime steak, USDA.
From Costco?
From Costco.
Now, everybody knows that Costco gives you great deals, and, you know, it is quality. I mean, quality is part of Costco's brand. But what is the significance of prime meat showing up at Costco? And then let's find out what cooks can do about that.
Well, this is huge, because USDA-labeled prime meat is only about at most 2% of our entire meat supply out there.
Really?
And it usually only goes to fancy steakhouses. I mean, that's why when you go out and you go to a steakhouse, you can get, you know, a porterhouse for two will cost $50, because it is the creme de la creme. There is no steak better. It has a marbled flesh, which means that when you cut into it, it's got that buttery texture in the mouth. It kind of melts.
All right, well, let's do some pricing. Let's stick with the economics first.
Yeah.
I know you love to get into the taste buds
like
thing.
I want to talk about steak.
On the restaurant plate, okay, a porterhouse, maybe it's a 2-pound porterhouse, it's going to cost you $34. That's for one, okay?
Right. If you to serve two, usually a porterhouse is for two, it's going to be at least, you know, $45.
Maybe $19 a pound, maybe $18 a pound. At Costco, what kind of prices are we talking
about? Oh, we're talking, I was shocked. I mean, I had heard they had good deals, but I didn't realize they had $9.99 a pound.
$9.99.
That is cheaper than regular steak at some markets.
You know, we've already done the story about how in this recession, lobsters have gone plummeted in price.
Right.
$5.99 is a price you can sometimes get for lobsters. So what does it mean to be able to buy prime meat at Costco? Consumers, give us a guide to what you should actually be purchasing.
Well, I mean, what it means for consumers is you're going to get great deals right now, because there's a surplus of steak, basically. Steakhouses aren't doing the kind of business they were doing pre-recession. They don't have the customers. They're not putting in the orders. So you have all this steak that's just floating around the universe that needs a home. And Costco, very graciously, not just Costco. You can find it in all supermarkets across the country, in very good ones. You just have to ask.
So you could find this in Safeway, Whole Foods.
Maybe Whole Foods. I don't think Safeway, although you may be able to. You should ask. You should definitely go in and start looking at the labels. I think most of us don't even know we can look for prime meat. It's not even part of our supermarket universe, but now it is. So when you go to the supermarket, you have to look at the label and it'll say USDA prime. That means you're going to get this amazing cut of meat that I was talking about. You'll also see cuts that you don't usually see at the supermarket. You know, usually you see ribeye or strip steak, but it's hard to find a porterhouse just at your regular supermarket. You have to go to the butcher for that. But you can find porterhouse. You can find whole fillets. You can find filet mignon.
Porterhouse is the one with the big bone.
It's like a T-bone,
filet
right?
Filet mignon is the tenderloin, the sort of interior kind of tender.
Exactly, so, and that's the most tender cut. Filet, and the porterhouse has a little more chew on it.
So you're a New York Times food writer. Does that mean, like, you can, call up Michael Pollan and say, hey, it's golden days for meat? And he says, sure, I'd love to come over to your house. we know what Michael Pollan thinks about the meat.
Well, yeah, I mean, all those problems are still there. I mean, it's not like the steak has changed. It's still the same steak that Michael Pollan is writing about. So if it's not grass-fed meat. We're not talking grass-fed meat. We're not talking about sustainably raised meat. We're talking about but we are talking about very, very tasty meat. So this is your ethical choice here on your plate.
And I've been told that you are, in fact, a junkie of this kind of meat.
Well, I love steak. I love it grass-fed. I love it corn-fed. I just love steak.
You're a woman after my own heart. My dad used to call me his little carnivore.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, that's so sweet.
Hey, Dad, the little carnivore's doing great on the radio this morning.
Yeah, John, pass over some of that steak.
You'll notice it's very rare. I only cook steak rare.
No, this is absolutely delicious. Now, explain to me how not to ruin a prime
cut. So you've got your beautiful prime meat that you've got at a bargain price, but you still don't want to mess it up. You still want to make this an amazing dinner. So to make it steakhouse delicious, you need to get a char on it. That's what sets steakhouse meat apart, is that you know how they can get it really crusty on the outside and then still rare in the middle.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so the trick is use a very hot pan or hot grill.
And start at room temperature,
Don't pull it out
of the fridge and throw it on the grill.
Right, that's important. Okay, so you've got your meat. You want to try to buy it at least 1 to 1.5 inches thick, okay? The thicker, the better. And then you've got your thick cut of meat. You want to put a lot of salt and pepper on it, more than you'd think. I think most people are very delicate when they salt. Use a big fat pinch per side, one pinch per side, salt, coarse salt and pepper. Rub that into the meat.
And it's not just about flavor. It's about changing the moisture content and making it better for the grill.
What it does is starts to draw out the moisture and also the fat a little bit, and it'll help with the char. So if you don't salt it, you're not going to get as good a char on the meat.
What about the butter? I think at Ruth Chris, they put a whole lot of butter on their steak.
Yeah, you can do the butter, but with prime steak, you don't really need it with prime steak. I mean, I think with lesser cuts, I love to put, have you ever had a compound butter where you take garlic and parsley and you chop it up and you put it in your butter and it turns green? It has such intense flavor.
Yeah.
And then you put that on top of your steak. But for a prime piece of meat, you don't need anything but salt and pepper.
Oh, here's a cooking question. What about this idea of letting the meat rest?
Yeah, that's a good idea. But don't do it for too long because your meat could overcook. So, you've got your meat on the grill. You're cooking it. When you put your meat on the grill, first of all, this is important. Don't move it. Don't touch it. A lot of people want to move it here and there. Let it sit for a good few minutes on one side before you flip it, 3 to 4 minutes per side probably, and then let it rest. When you take it off, you want to let it rest for some people say 10 minutes. That's way too long. I'd say about 3 or 4 minutes.
And what does that do? It lets it reabsorb the juice?
And also finishes cooking, because you want to take it off a few degrees before it's cooked. Otherwise, again, it's going to overcook when it sits. So this is important.
Is this fair to be doing to our listeners at this hour in the morning?
Well, I don't know. It's 6:45. They may not be hungry for steak
yet. We've done so much worse than this, actually. Probably people aren't going to have steak for breakfast, but there is actually a tradition of steak and eggs in the Midwest,
that's very true.
Maybe not prime steak and eggs.
Well, I mean, now it could be prime steak and eggs. Go to Costco. It's just not that expensive anymore.
Right. Now, does Costco see an opportunity here? I mean, are they getting a big profit from this?
Yeah. I'm sure they are. I actually did not interview anybody from Costco, but I imagine that they're taking advantage of, in a good way. They see the surplus. I mean, the meat's out there. Somebody's got to eat it. It might as well be us, right?
Okay, so we've already done lobster, on this show.
Right.
We're now doing prime steak, which normally is not available unless you're a restaurant buyer.
Or you would have to mail order it. Have you ever seen those mail order?
Absolutely.
That's prime
Omaha
meat. Right, exactly.
What food will we be doing next
in this
recession, do you think? You've probably got the short list.
I don't have the short list, but if I could... if I could make a suggestion, I would like it to be maybe truffles or caviar, but but we'll see.
Oh, her tastes are so sophisticated. Melissa Clark, takeaway friend, New York Times food writer, talking to us on Food Wednesday here on The Takeaway. Thanks so much for the steak, Melissa.
Oh, enjoy.
Thank you. It was delicious.